back in Joshua chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years." A few words of encouragement for Joshua. "And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshurai. So, as of Joshua chapter 13, five major cities that the national life of Philistia centered around were Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. Five cities. The land between Israel's hill country and the coastal plain was called Shephelah, which means literally low country, which separated Philistia from Israel. Samson was born in Zorah, a city in Dan. Remember, a lot of the tribe of Dan moved north, but some remained behind. He was born in the city of Zorah, again, not too many miles west of Jerusalem, toward the coast of the Mediterranean. And often he would cross over those 4 miles. Sometimes he would go over to do work for God, and other times he was satisfying the appetites of the flesh. Samson served as a judge for 20 years during those 40 years of Philistine oppression. Began around 1095 BC, the oppression did, began around 1095 BC and ended at Mizpah in 1055 BC when Israel finally defeated Philistia. If you notice in Judges chapter, let me see, I'm ahead of myself here. Chapter 13, verse number 5. The Bible says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall," what's the next word? "Begin." So he began the work of defeating the Philistines, but he did not complete the work. And basically, God had him keep the Philistines from harassing continuously the people of Israel. Evidently, the Philistines were not too hard on Israel compared to others. And I'll give you a reason why here in just a bit. We find it in chapter 15. Sometime around the middle of this period, the Battle of Aphek occurred when Israel was defeated. That's the time when they lost the Ark of the Covenant, and they also lost three priests. 1 Samuel chapter 4 talks about that, if you're interested in that. Samson's judgeship started around this time, and it was his responsibility. Instead of allowing the Philistines to harass the people of Israel, he was instead to harass them and keep them from overrunning the land and menacing the people. You'll notice as we go through these chapters, there's no record of Israel ever crying out to the Lord. And I think one of the reasons why there's no record of them crying out to the Lord is because I think they had it fairly good. They got accustomed to being under Philistine rule. If you look at chapter 15 in verse number 11, and we'll talk about the context of all this when we get to, when we get here. But notice, 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock, or the cleft of the rock, of Etam, and said to Samson, "Knowest not thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." So basically, they were extremely angry with Samson because he had taken vengeance on the Philistines, and the men of Judah, several thousand, came down to confront him over it. not to kill him, but to take him, bind him, and take him back to the Philistines so they could deal with him. Because things were pretty good. They said, man, you're messing everything up. You're riling up the enemy. Why are you doing that? So they never did, as far as is recorded in Scripture, cry out to God. They seemed content. And I'm a little worrisome over our nation, because it began with COVID in earnest. I mean, it's been going on for longer than that, but in earnest, where government sought more and more control. You know, they locked us up. Turned out it was all ridiculous. Closed schools down, etc. Just kind of test the people to see how we would respond to being told how to live our lives. Like in Minnesota, our newly, not our, but the Democrat newly appointed vice president, Mr. Waltz, he shut down all the churches in Minnesota, every church, shut down. But yet the Great Mall, you've heard of it, in Minneapolis, I believe is where it's at. He left it open because he thought that was good for the morale of the people. Church isn't good for the morale of the people, my goodness, no. But the mall was open, and people accepted it, and people reelected him. And the path toward oppression here is growing stronger and stronger. And if Kamala wins, we are going to see more and more government control. And if we let it go and let it go and let it go, before you know it, we are totally under oppression. And then it's too late. Remember the song, "It's Too Late to Turn Back Now"? I believe, I believe, I believe. That was a great song. All right. So the Philistines, if you recall, 1 Samuel chapter 13, we looked at this sometime during our study, I think, of Joshua. They had disarmed the people, and something else that a certain party wants to do. Unlike many of the other judges, Samson didn't deliver his people totally. He just held them back. They were still dominated by the Philistines, but he began the work. Samson definitely put the fear of God in the people, didn't he? Anybody that can tear a lion apart with his bare hands probably should kind of tread carefully. Can you imagine tearing a lion apart with your bare hands? Of course, the Spirit of God had a lot to do with that. Through Samson's prayers, as such as recorded in 1 Samuel 7, and David's conquest, 2 Samuel 5, the job Samson started was finally finished. Israel would indeed complete a total victory over the Philistines. All right, so we've seen the child with promise in chapter 13, 1 through 23. The champion with power, verses 24 and 25. And now, number 3, or letter C, the chosen with problems. The chosen with problems. I had to really wrestle with how I could get the C and the P to continue. So the chosen, of course, is Samson. He was chosen of God as a judge, was he not? And he had some problems, as we're going to see in chapters 14 and 15, which is what this covers. Both chapters, 14 and 15, have 20 verses. Before I have you read, Hebrews 11:32 says Samson was a man of faith. But yet, as we go through the study of his life, and it's in great detail, I think it shows that he might have been a man of faith in certain regards, but he wasn't a faithful man. We can be men and women of faith, truly believe in Christ, truly be born again, and not be faithful. He wasn't faithful. And we're going to look at some ways that show, indeed, his unfaithfulness. All right, chapter 14, got 20 verses. So let's go ahead and read all 20 of them. if someone would take 1 through 7, okay, George, then 8 through 14, who would like to read those, 8 through 14, going once, Miss Betty, and then Gary, you take 15 through 20, okay? Everybody got it? All right, George, go ahead.
And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well.
And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother. He gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so he used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle.
And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare us unto the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she went before him for 7 days, and while the feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him, on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto him, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend.
Oh, all right. Thank you, three. The chosen with problems. The first way that we can see the unfaithfulness of Samson was, number one, he lost respect for his parents. He lost respect for his parents, verses 1 through 4. There's no question that Samson had a godly heritage. He had godly parents. But he fell in love. I think probably a better way to describe it is he fell in lust. My own personal opinion, this is only an opinion. I don't know if it's backed by science, never did a study on it. But I think a lot of marriages end in divorce because the couples marry over lust and not love. Because, you know, we're attracted, especially the man is attracted to the woman. And that attraction can lead to physical desires that can lead to a marriage that was never intended to be. So we have to get beyond that part and understand the importance of growing together in a marriage and growing in the Lord as well at the same time. So he traveled 4 miles into enemy territory, and when he saw this woman, he decided to marry her. There's a lot of things wrong with that. I think the Bible was very clear. Moses was very clear. God was very clear in Deuteronomy 7, and there's also another passage in Exodus where God said, do not intermarry. Do not intermarry. Don't do it. If you do it, you're going to end up worshiping their gods. Over and over and over again, God said, don't do it. Here in Deuteronomy, Moses again repeated it in chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and multitude of other heights, kites, and tights. I added that for, that's in italics. And seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Now, we do not find Philistia listed there. Does that mean because it's not specifically listed there that it was okay for him to marry this Philistine lady? Some commentators say yes. But back in Exodus, and I didn't write the passage down, let me see if it's next to, I wasn't going to share it, but there's a passage in Exodus where, let's see if it's listed next to, no, I don't see it. That basically does not specify nations. It says don't intermarry. So this was sin number one that's recorded here. And really the context of this chapter and the next one shows Samson consistently sinning, though God overrules and allows him to see victories. Samson is developing a pattern in his life that ended obviously in disaster. And the Lord was working in his life, in his heart, to try to steer him in the right direction. So he decided he's going to marry this woman. His parents said, not so good an idea. He threw a little fit, so they said, all right. I did write it down, ladies and gentlemen. Exodus chapter 34. I thought I had decided not to, but said, Pastor, you should have remembered that. Yeah, I know. I should remember, too, when I get up off my chair and go to the kitchen to get something and forget what it was. I should remember that. Exodus 34, verses 12 through 16. Take heed to yourself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves, everything related to idol worship. That for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, he is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou shalt take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a whoring after their gods. So there's no specific nation mentioned there, is there? They were not to intermarry. The problem with Samson at this point in his life is he was living by sight and not by faith. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. He saw this beautiful woman and said, I want her. I want to marry her. No mention of him seeking the mind of God, which he didn't have to do because he had the word of God already that said, don't do it. Now you might say, well, yeah, but if you read a little bit further, it says that his parents didn't know that it was of the Lord. Yeah, the Lord allowed it, knowing the heart of Samson, knowing what Samson was going to do. God will often overrule in the affairs of men. We're heading down a wrong path, and it's definitely a sinful path. And God says, you know, Dennis is going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to work out my plan one way or the other. I'm either going to use him and work through him, or I'm going to do it in spite of him, but my plan is going to be worked out. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 9, the Bible says, and there are several passages in Proverbs that talk about this. A man's heart deviseth or plans his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Warren Wiersbe said, and I quote, God will accomplish his purposes either with us or in spite of us, end of quote. God's purposes will be fulfilled. So Samson wasn't pleasing the Lord. He wasn't pleasing his parents. He was pleasing himself. And any time a believer lives to please self instead of God, there's disaster that lies ahead. There are many miserable believers who have chosen the way of the world and the way of the flesh and think that's going to bring happiness and joy, when instead it brings misery and ruin. There is no joy outside of the will of God. When we reject God's rule in our lives, he will overrule. He will work out his will in spite of our decisions. Samson should have been fighting a battle, not planning a wedding. But God used this event to give Samson a reason to attack the enemy. He ended up killing 30 men, chapter 14, verse 19. He ended up burning their crops, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. And then he ended up killing many more Philistines in verses 7 and 8. And then 1,000 more in verse number 15. It wasn't Samson's plan to do all this, but it was God's. So number one, he lost respect for his parents. That's one way to know he was unfaithful. Number two, he lost his Nazirite separation. And this point of the outline, these specific points are from Wiersbe. I want to give him credit for what he did. It's his work, as far as the actual points. All right, verses 5 through 9. So Samson went down, took mom and dad to Timnath, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath. Obviously, leaving his parents behind, he went off the beaten path and detoured into a vineyard. What was wrong with him detouring into a vineyard? Yeah, the furthest thing from his mind should have been grapes of any kind. Absolutely taboo to those that had taken a Nazirite. In his case, it was given him from birth. The Nazirite vow. He was not to eat grapes. He was not to drink grape juice. He was not to drink grape wine. He wasn't to fool with grapes at all. And so he was dabbling with sin, was he not? Probably a good idea for a believer who got saved out of a major drinking problem to do his or her witnessing in a bar. Would you agree with that? Probably not a good idea to go into an establishment that serves alcohol when you had a drinking problem. It's not a good idea anyway, but especially if you had a drinking problem. You want to stay as far away from those things as possible, because the devil loves it when we give opportunity for him to mess our lives up, to tempt us. So mom and dad were going down the path to Timnath, he takes a detour, and suddenly he's attacked by a lion. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he tore that lion to pieces like he would of a young lamb. God empowered him. Maybe God had sent the lion as a warning that, hey, Samson, you're kind of going down the wrong path here. Maybe this will wake you up. So as he went down the path of disobedience, God sent that lion, but he continued on into enemy territory and had an unlawful wedding, though it was not consummated. You notice in verse number 6, of course, he tore up the lion. And when he did that, last part of the verse says, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Verse 7, he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. What's wrong with verse 7? Do you see it? Was a man supposed to talk to a woman alone? It was unacceptable in the East for a man and a woman to converse together alone. But she literally was right in his eyes. Now, if you were betrothed, you could, but they weren't betrothed yet. Then verse 8 says, after a time he returned to take her, he turned aside to gloat over the lion. He went back to the vineyard again. The lion is laying there decaying, and some bees decided to build a nest inside the carcass, and he got a little inkling for honey. He got a taste for something sweet, and he went and he touched the dead carcass to get the honey. Now, some commentators say, but specifically it talks about touching a human dead carcass, not an animal. No dead carcass. So he sinned again, didn't he? And he sinned again because he went right back to the original spot where he had sinned. Now, not only did he violate 1 John 2:15 and 16, especially verse 16, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, but now the pride of life, because he was so proud of himself that he killed that lion. He had to go back and take another peek. And so that led to another sin, because he did not separate himself from that path of disobedience. It led to yet another sin. Now he's eating honey out of a dead carcass, and he went home and gave some to his parents, and they ate it as well. So he ate honey, violating one aspect of the Nazarite vow, and he probably drank wine. You say, what? Yeah. Let me show you something here. In verse number 17, skip ahead just for a moment, we'll go back. She wept before him the 7 days. Marriage feast lasted 7 days, and the riddle was to be solved by the end of that period of time. While their feast lasted, if you look up that word feast, you Hebrew scholars, Billy, look it up in Wilson's Word Studies, okay? The word for feast here means a drinking party. A drinking party, which often led to an orgy, but that's not specifically stated. But he probably, I can't prove it. But the word for feast, can't imagine. He was at a drinking party, and he was drinking tea while all the rest of the guests were drinking wine and getting a buzz. So if that be the case, that would be two out of the things that he was not. Two-thirds of his vow has been violated. All right, let's look at this little. If you want to read about the Nazarite vow, by the way, number 6, I think I mentioned that when the angel of the Lord appeared and said that he would be born. All right, so he ate the honey. Verse number 10, his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do, is what it means. Young men used to do. The word feast there is again that word. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. So he went down for a wedding, and he didn't bring anybody with him. I mean, it's supposed to be a bunch of friends. And then, of course, the best man. Well, he didn't have anybody, so they said, well, we'll take care of that. So they came, they brought him 30 friends. They called down in the city and found a number for rent-a-friends. And they rented 30 friends. I got a feeling these 30 men were probably guards for the Philistines as well. Because at this point, I don't know if they trusted Samson. So they probably were doubling as friends and guards. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. And then, of course, he gives the riddle. And he said, if whoever wins, whether it be me or you, 30 sheets, which are linen undergarments, and 30 changes of garments, the outer garment. Now, that's pretty pricey. You're talking about 30 complete changes of clothes. There's some money involved here. So he gave the riddle. Verse 14, out of the eater came forth meat or food, and out of the strong came forth sweetness, or you could say something sweet, and they could not in 3 days solve the riddle. And so the days marched on by, and it came upon the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare. And some translations have the 4th day there. So from the 4th to the 7th day, she worked on him. And he was a soft touch when it came to the pretty ladies. Entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house. I think they were serious. So they threatened his future wife. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Did you come along to impoverish us? And so Samson's wife turned on the tears. Now, when I met Barbara, she was a pretty naive. She was so sweet. She was too sweet. She was very naive. And after being married to me for a period of time, she became less naive. And she became stronger and stronger as a person. As a Christian, when we got saved, of course, things began to change. But if I, and she was not a crier, she was not a whiner, she didn't turn on tears and turn off tears to try to manipulate me. But if I upset her enough for her to cry, I was done. I mean, because like I say, she didn't just start crying. I knew I really messed up. And so I would apologize all over myself and fall at her feet begging for mercy because I couldn't take it. When she cried, it just broke my heart. I couldn't stand it. I remember when the year before we started here, 2015, she was coming back from Winchester on 522, not too far here from within a mile of the church. And it was pretty dark. It was like 7 at night. Now it would be like 8 at night. And a deer ran across the road and ran into her. She didn't hit the deer. The deer hit her. tore up the front fender. It was that little Prius C that I had when I first started. Remember that little car? I have it now in my shower as a soap dish. But anyway, it damaged it pretty bad. But she could drive it. So she came in, heard the door open, and she just was weeping. I mean, and trembling. And I killed it! Not talking about the deer, talking about the car. And I embraced her. I felt the tears. That car could have been in a puddle. I'm just a pile of rubble, and I wouldn't have cared because she cried, and that was it. And I went out and looked at it, and it was not pretty. I said, "Oh, that's not bad. A couple of parts." I thought she was going to have a heart attack. That's how upset she was. Well, Samson's bride turned on the tears. And at first, he held pretty strong. He said, "Man, I haven't even told Mom and Dad. Why should I tell you?" And she kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And it was, I think it had something to do with the consummation. It was time for the consummation. And that was all that was left to make the marriage complete. And so he didn't want to mess that up. So he gave her the answer to the riddle. And you know the rest of the story. Samson found out, of course. You don't think that she told him what happened? Of course she did, because he's all over. "What in the world is wrong with you? Why'd you tell?" And then she said, "Well, they threatened to kill my family. They're going to burn down the house with us in it." And so obviously he wasn't too happy. And so he realized they had cheated. He could have refused because they did cheat. He could say, "Now you violated the rules of the game," but he didn't want to risk them burning down his bride's house. And so basically he said, "If ye had not plowed with my heifer," that sounds kind of bad when you read it, but did you plow with a heifer? You didn't plow with a heifer. So he was saying, "You illegitimately won. And so therefore you broke the rules," because it would be breaking the rules if you plow with a heifer. "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He went down to Ashkelon, slew 30 men of them, took their clothes, and he gave the change of garments unto them," which expounded the riddle. "And his anger was kindled," hot anger, "against the seed." That was justified. Now, how he worked out his anger, that was another story. And rather than go down to his bride, he said, "I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm not even going down there now. I'll go down there later." Well, Samson's wife was given to his best man. You know how you give a gift to the wedding party? The bride and groom give a gift to members of... Well, he got the ultimate gift, did he not? Got his wife, yeah. "Whom he had used as his friend," or best man. Another act of treachery by his wife's father. And, of course, you got to give the father cut him a little slack, because he didn't know whether he was coming back. Didn't look like he was coming back. Questions, comments? Yes, sir.
I don't know who gave me this. It might have been you, might have been somebody else, but there was a statement at the end of chapter 20. Let's see where it is. Yeah, at the end of chapter 13, in verse 24, right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "And the Lord blessed him."
Mm-hmm.
And according to my notes next to that, he is the only judge to have had this said about him.
That's what I said that in the beginning. That's where you got it. Boy, you're worse than me.
This was a long time ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this was really.
Oh, okay.
So it must have been, you must have said that sometime in the past.
Thank you, sir.
But
yeah.
That is interesting. All the things that he's done, but yet the Lord knew he was going to do this, but yet he said, "The Lord bless
him." I don't know why it
in my head. So when he slayed these 30 men, did he kill them without bloodying them? Or did he just give these guards?
That's an excellent question.
Like, all like messed up. Really? Yeah, don't mind the blood.
I think he probably said, hey guys, get naked.
Oh, you, okay, and then?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's, either that or he did it, you know, because even rolling around in the dirt, you don't want to give somebody all nasty old dirty garments. But that's the interesting. I never thought of that. Only Tater would think of that. Hey, what about the blood on the clothes and stuff? That's pretty good. Anybody else? Missionaries, other week, Jonathan and Dora Drendel. Sojourn Church. Pray for our team as we just launched Sojourn Church in January. And that is in Gardner, Kansas. Gardner, Kansas. Jonathan and Dora Drendel. Pray for the church that God will give us growth. I'm going to have to start doing Sunday school class commercials again. Try to get some of our new folks to start coming to Sunday school. Pray for our nation. Boy, there's something about JFK Jr. joining the Trump train. Isn't that something? Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Law enforcement, pray for our troops, our missionaries, pray for Hope House, Mark, his health situation, Rhonda, as she deals with that, and also her mom, Betty's niece, Teresa, Bill needing rehabilitated kidneys, blood pressure issues. How was your blood pressure this week?
110 over 43 today.
Excellent. You know why? Because you drove in a nice Beetle. Man, my blood pressure would have been down around 80 over 60. Yeah. Pray for Ashley, Fred and Annandale's niece with cancer. Fred's sister Darla with cancer. Mary had some injections in her back, but it continues to give her a fit. You go back in 2 weeks, you said, right? Mary, 2 weeks?
I go back Tuesday, and I have another injection next week.
Next, the following week, okay. Tammy and Dan Hummel. Tammy waiting she had her surgery, had her thyroid removed, and some lymph nodes as well, and she's waiting on the biopsy results. And then Dan has some colon issues. So pray for Dan. Darlene, Gary's sister with leukemia, very, very ill. Rebecca Force's mom, Ruth, hopefully will get home. They thought maybe last week, but she actually had a hole. They found it through putting some liquid in, and it's like she sprung a leak. Seriously. So they had to wait for that to heal. Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney. Pastor Groom's grandson, 2-year-old grandson. Pray for him. They have to replace the shunt, the tubing, all in his head. And they're waiting for an infection to clear before they can do it. So they haven't done it yet. Sonia James taken to Winchester, unresponsive. Who put that down?
That's June's grandson's wife.
June's? June Alexander? Grandson's wife?
Yeah.
How's June been getting along? I understand, believe me. I understand. And then Barb Miller, upcoming knee surgery. Hello, Ronnie.
Pastor.
You're a sight for sure. What a good-looking young man.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's stand together, have a word of prayer, ask God to meet these needs. Do you believe God answers prayer?
Yes.
Amen. Father, thank you that you are a God that hears and answers prayer. We're not worthy of the blessing of having our prayers answered, but you delight in doing that. We praise you and seek to glorify you because of it. Thank you for our Savior who loved us and died upon that cross and gave us a way to be made right with you through that shed blood. We pray for our church. We pray for growth. Pray the visitors that have been coming would continue to come. And Lord, as you direct their hearts, we pray some would join with us. We pray for any that might be here today that do not know Christ as Savior and Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. We pray for healing for those we called out to you. We pray, Lord, for good test results from those that are awaiting test results. We pray that you'd ease that pain and in Mary's back, and pray these injections would work. We pray, Father, for Mark, that you continue to minister to him, and we know that you could heal both his body and mind if that would be your perfect will. We pray, Lord, that you would meet with us in the next hour, the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, would you please move from heart to heart. May we be eager to hear and to receive what you have for us. And may you continue that work of sanctification in each of us that know Christ as Savior. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. Please continue, Lord, to direct in our nation. And Father, you know the desperate situation we're in and how we're sliding further and further away from you. Lord, please forgive our sin, heal our land, and raise up leaders that love you and will turn our nation back to you. Thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.